listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, what up, what up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. It is Sunday, February 14th, Valentine's Day.
George,
happy V-Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Marshall.
Yay.
Will you be my Valentine, Marsh?
I will. Sure. I don't have anyone else to be, so.
Well, don't tell my wife, okay?
Oh, God. Kay. So, yeah, how's your Valentine's Day going?
It's been good, dude. I've watched about – so I've convinced my wife to watch Scrubs with me, which
– Oh, yeah,
Scrubs,
I forgot that you're a Scrubs fan.
Yes, it's probably my favorite TV show of all time, and we've watched about 4.5 hours so far, which has been awesome, you know? So. Yeah. What a good way to spend. Yeah, she loves it. So that's good. It took her a little longer to warm up than I wanted. You know, it was a little weird during the first season, you know, because I wanted her to just like be crazy about it. And she wasn't. So,
yeah, but you know what? I never got into it.
Yeah, it's good, man. I mean, it's a very particular kind of humor.
Bro, but, I tried to get into Workaholics.
Uh-huh.
And I just can't.
I'm surprised that you don't like Workaholics.
It's like a little too stupid for me.
And I can see that for sure. Because it's like, I love Workaholics, but it's the type of thing where it's like, in college, I'd get a buddy and we'd binge it all day, and then I'd go like a year without watching another episode.
Yeah, it's like the show is the same each and every episode.
Yeah. So, I get what you're saying. It's like, I enjoy it as like a novelty, right? Like, I enjoy a day full of Workaholics, and then I need a break for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel ya. Yeah, I need a new show, or I'm going to lose my mind. I can't, I've said this on this show like 35 times, but I can't keep watching Entourage. I can quote every single episode, I feel like.
It's amazing.
It's so good, but I mean, yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything. I don't know, man. Have you watched The League before?
I have not.
I would highly recommend The League. I think you would enjoy it.
The League?
Yeah, it's about like five dudes that are close, and they're all in the same fantasy football league, and like they're horrible people. They're such bad people, and it's about, like, the shenanigans they do to each other. It's a similar vibe to, like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, kind of, but just their connection is that they play fantasy football with each other, so.
Okay.
And you do get cool cameos from NFL players, too, so, okay. On occasion.
Huh. Yeah, I haven't – a lot of people say that I would like Eastbound and Down. I haven't seen that.
I've seen a few episodes. It's like, I don't know. It's a little stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's Will Ferrell and Danny McBride kind of humor. So it's like,
Will Ferrell's in it?
He's not regularly. He's in it a little bit. So he like pops in on occasion. So.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. What were we talking about again? Eastbound and Down?
Yeah, it's okay. You know, it's like I watched the first season and I kind of got bored. But like my cousin who has similar taste to me, like it's his favorite show of all time. So, you know, okay. I don't know.
All right. Okay. Well, is our we have one of our best friends coming on today. Is he ready?
Yes, I believe so. I'm waiting for him to respond that he is ready. So.
Okay. Always a pleasure when we get this guy on.
Yeah.
Bro, and we got spring ball in less than a month now, I think.
When does it start?
I think May or March 13th.
Okay. I dig it.
Yeah.
Okay, so our guy's ready, so I'm going to call him up.
Cool.
Hello?
Hello.
Brad, what's going on, man?
How's it going, guys?
We're doing all right. It's been a long time, bro. How you been?
I've been good. I'm, you know, I'm just trying to stay afloat like everyone else is in this sea of tumult, I guess.
I know that you spent the weekend. Because I always see your Instagram stories. It seems like you snowboard a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's like in LA, it's, you know, people don't realize that you can snowboard and surf, in the same day. So it's like I have to take advantage of both of them.
So do you just go up to Big Bear?
No, there's actually a place that I try to keep it like on the low, but I'm about to expose it because not a lot of people know about it. But it's called Wrightwood. Mountain High is the resort, but it's up in it's like past Palmdale, like past the desert. And it's like maybe an hour from LA. Literally, it's like an hour and 10 minutes and you're there.
Wow.
Awesome. And you can literally go. I mean, I go as much as I can, especially now because my back feels a lot better. I don't wake up in pain as much as I used to from my years of playing this sport we call football. but no, it's been a blast. You know, it's that time of year. So.
Okay.
Thanks, man. That's cool.
Okay, so we talked to you probably sometime last spring was the last time we talked, and yeah. You're still at USC, right?
Yeah, I'm like about halfway through at the moment.
And so you're getting your master's in film something, correct?
In actually screenwriting. There is like some directing and whatnot. But it's the division for writing for TV and film. Yeah. And video games. Like there's some game writing.
Nice, man.
As well.
Okay. So how's that going? Are you sick of school yet?
I love learning. I've always loved learning. I mean, some people can try to shoot that opinion down because I left Miami after 2.5 years, but I do love learning.
Whenever I'm talking with people on social media, and your name comes up, like it's always the thing that I always get is, dude, what if Brad like stayed 2017, like everything like that. How often do you get that hypothetical question?
I feel like every time I check my DM requests, I get that. Or my email sometimes, or even like my mail. Sometimes I get like fan mail somehow in my condo in Miami, and I'll get that exact quote. So maybe it's you. I'm kidding.
Dude, do you think it's just like some random guy somewhere in like North Carolina that can't sleep at night, so he DMs you like?
And he's got these bots, or yeah, he's got a bunch of bot accounts, or it's yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Russians in the election, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Does it start to get old? Because I know, like, you and I, like, we've talked about it, and you said that you have no regrets about that decision, and we respect that. But mm-hmm. does it get annoying how often you get that question?
I mean, it's not annoying because I understand, like, these fan, like, the Miami fan base is, I mean, it's a passionate one. And I, you know, I'm all for people having opinions, and I enjoy discourse with fans, you know. And I mean, it's all out of love and passion. I don't think there's anything nefarious about it. But of course, I had to do. I did what I thought was best for my future, for what I wanted to accomplish in life. You know, people could say I could have came back and won a national championship, or I could have came back and I don't know. God forbid, broke my kneecap or got the same injury I sustained in the NFL with my spine. So yeah. There's a lot of hypotheticals there that right now we can just leave all up to ambiguity at the moment. So
wow, that's a big word. All right, Brad.
There we go.
So screenwriting classes are paying off.
It's all the screenwriting.
Yeah. Yeah.
The great thing about interviewing you is that you know, we talk some football, but I mean, you're so down earth that we can talk about other things. But I did want to ask you about this past Canes season. Right. You know, Manny Diaz's second year. What were your thoughts? And also, what were your thoughts and opinions on the Rhett Lashley offense?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to catch a lot of games. I tried to watch the big ones. I think I watched like the first half of the FSU game where we just skunked them like off the bat. It was like watching NCAA 14.
Yeah.
Hopefully NCAA 22 or whatever is coming out next if they re-release it. But I enjoyed it. I mean, the offense, it was fun to watch. It was dynamic. It was kinetic. It was modern, you know. I mean, it was a joy to watch. And I mean, Derek King, he's an animal, and I'm glad that he's coming back for what is his sixth year or fifth year. Or now guys are just we're getting contract extension now in college football. But I'm excited to see what the future holds. Obviously, you know, we had a little bit of drop off late in the season. I'm sure. I mean, I'm not really an insider in the program, but I'm sure there were some injuries and there were all kinds of you know, just some momentum kind of dropped off. But hopefully, I mean, Derek can get back healthy and go out there and, you know, put together a 10-win season, hopefully 11-win season, and finally win a bowl game. I can recall the last time we actually won.
Yeah, you were the quarterback.
I think I was a quarterback. Yeah, actually. So yeah, hopefully they'll do that and then go with that.
I don't know if that was planned or
maybe. Yeah,
that is kind of crazy. Like, you're the only quarterback since like 06 to win a bowl game.
Wow. Yeah. At least I did something. Yeah, at least. I still have my what was that? The Russell Bowl, right? Yeah, I still have my Russell Bowl trophy like sitting in my room, like on my bedside. Yeah, like near my, my night table.
That's cool. Well, speaking of guys getting these contract extensions, one of your former teammates, Scott Patchen, is still in the college football world.
It's like every time around this year, we're all just on our toes waiting to see the Wolf of Wall Street a GIF get posted on Scott's account when he announces he's returning again for college football, and that's been like 3 years running now. So I think it's like we're going on year seven. I mean, he may as well just get his doctorate and just be Dr. Patchen soon. Doctor.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I know he's. I mean, have we heard if he's coming back? Because he's eligible for another year.
No, he is.
That's the thing. Oh my gosh, that's incredible. I love it.
We have an offensive lineman coming back for his seventh year. So it's whatever. So I remember one of the games. I think it was the Clemson game. It was obviously the one after Florida State, and we were, you know, getting wrecked. And I remember you and I were going after Canes fans because they were upset and everything like that. And you and I were trying to explain to them that, you know, this is Clemson. Do you think that, like, I'm trying to word this in the best way. Do you think the expectations, like, because obviously Miami fans have such high expectations every single year. Do you think that, I mean, obviously that's a good thing in some
ways. It is good.
It hurts in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, going into each season, obviously there's added pressure because it's the U, and, you know, given the fact that what we did in 01 and 02 and the 80s, that like that will never be forgotten. But yeah, I mean, it's a weird paradox that we find ourselves in. I feel like every year, because we are the U, and I feel like we do get the preseason hype. But at the same time, you know, there has been events in our past, like people can deny it and say that, hey, we're almost at the same playing field as the top four, the top five teams, but we're not, and it's because there's still some remnants of what happened. What was that? Almost. What, 10 years ago now with the Shapiro case? Yeah. But we also have to be realistic and know that it's, you know, in order for us to beat a team like Bama, a team like Clemson, we have to be in our P's and Q's. Like, we have to play a 99 percentile perfect game, you know? Yeah. Clemson has, at each position, there's three guys, right? Three guys who are going to get like an NFL shot, a legitimate NFL shot at each position. And people can say, oh, well, they have walk-ons that are playing, whatever, walk-ons who are starting. Well, yeah, their walk-ons don't have to pass the same academic requirements as our walk-ons do. You know what I mean? So that, like, there is, even their walk-ons, it's a different level. So, I mean, I think we're starting to bridge that gap, and we saw it in a lot of those close games that we've won. And if you see, you know, we're getting guys to the transfer, the transfer portal, and I don't keep up like with recruiting as much anymore, but it seems like every time I see you tweet something, Marsh, you're always hyped about some four-star, five-star, you know, guy who you're jumping in the pool for or something like that.
Well, you saw that, huh?
I think we're on a good track. Yeah, I saw that when the Garcia committee.
Garcia, man.
Yeah, I'm hyped about him. So I think, as we get more guys like that, I think we're going to start to bridge that gap. And then we can get to the point where we don't have to play 100%, A++ game. We can play B+ games and grind it out and hopefully, pull off some upsets.
So obviously, Jake is going to be the next California to the U. That's a pipeline going on. Our best quarterbacks, they've all been from California. Have you I know you don't really keep up with recruiting anymore, but have you seen any tape on Jake or anything like that?
Yeah, I watched some of his stuff. I feel like it was maybe his junior season stuff when he was at Narbonne. I think, right? He was at Narbonne in LA. Yep. I played in high school. And I thought it was great because usually when I think Narbonne, I think it's most of their team, there's not many white guys on the team, but I love the fact that he was the only white guy and he was hanging in there and he was playing in their division. It's a tough division. And I'm like, this guy has got some flavor to him. Yep. He's got some swagger and I think he's ready to go take it. To whoever we play, hopefully, after Derek leaves, but I'm really excited to see Jake take the helm eventually. And I think he's got the swagger and the, and just the moxie, I think, that it takes to play quarterback at the U and in the ACC.
Yeah. I love his story because, he transferred to Georgia for his senior year because California wasn't going to play a football season.
Right. And so then he loves football. He loves it.
Yeah, and then
he's a football player, not a 7-on-7 guy. He's a football player, which I love.
And then, he had to transfer halfway through the year because of a school board issue or whatever. So he ended up at a second high school for his senior season in Georgia and then ended up winning the state championship. So
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a baller move, man.
Right. One day, well, hopefully his career keeps going, but I might have to get the life rights to that story.
Yeah, right.
Might have to make a TV show, a Garcia TV show.
Did you watch All American?
I have watched All American. Actually, Spencer Passenger, he's a good friend of mine. We talk a lot about certain projects and stuff, and we're hopefully trying to work on some together eventually down the line. But I do watch All American every once in a while, so it's good showing it on the air.
Yeah, I just finished the first season. During COVID and quarantine, we know that you're a big movie TV guy. Were there any TV shows that you got really into?
I feel like this quarantine has gone on forever now. So I'm like trying to think back on shows I watched a year ago. Let's see. Hunters, which was on Amazon Prime, I really enjoyed. It's got Al Pacino. They're hunting down Nazis in New York in the 70s, which was pretty badass. All the HBO stuff, with HBO, you could literally, lay them out on a wall and just throw a dart and close your eyes and you'll probably have a good show to watch. So all the HBO stuff.
Did you ever watch Entourage?
I did when I was younger and it inspired me and it made me think about, hey, maybe I could try my hand at the film industry. But I haven't watched in recent years, really. I haven't kept up, but that's a good one.
Well, so I actually have a question for you. Have you ever thought about getting into the sports media world, whether it be broadcasting or even maybe sports management, agents or anything like that?
Yeah, I've thought about it and I've had opportunities in the past. I've had whether it be sports media. I've had some commentator agents, reach out to me and I've talked to a few companies about, possibly doing some stuff. But if I were to get involved in sports, I'd want to probably more so be on the narrative side and maybe on the documentary side of things. So I could put my storytelling air about me, if that makes sense. But I have considered it. It's just, I don't know. I just spent so many years saturated with sports. It's just let me relax for a moment.
I get you. So I guess my next question, kind of piggybacking off of that, is 10 years from now, if you can envision yourself 10 years from now doing anything you want, so let's there's no barriers in the way, what do you see yourself doing? Because you're a guy with a ton of options, right?
Yeah. I hope to have hopefully gotten one of these scripts sold, hopefully got one of them produced, and probably be somewhere in the mountains writing scripts and maybe doing podcasts. So, you know, nice. Or maybe do it in Thailand or something or in Europe or somewhere just obscure that no one can find me. You know, I can throw away my phone and Marsh can hit me up and I'll respond like a month later and say, yeah, I'll do the podcast.
Yeah. Dude, that's honestly like my dream with this thing too, is like, I would love to build some residual income and then, you know, like I have it priced out how much money I'd need to make to live in Indonesia on the beach somewhere. Right. So it's just, right. That's filed away in my dream folder. So I feel you there, man.
You should have got some GameStop stock and you could have been there right now.
I know, right? Dude, well, crazy enough, like I wish it was me, but my dad bought like $600 of Dogecoin like 4 years ago, dude, when it was like a quarter of a penny.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, he's living large right now. He's feeling pretty good about himself.
He's balling right now.
Yeah.
So do you, I mean, I actually respect is that, you know, you're not huge on social media and I wasn't around for your playing days as much, but it seemed that you got to Miami because you and I are the same age. You got to Miami right when I'd say right when Instagram and Twitter really started to hit its peak.
Yeah. Almost. We're still building though. We were in the precursor era.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, did you like social media with players is a big thing. Do you think that like what are your opinions on that? And you know, it's I think it's very important how an athlete carries himself on social media. You know, how big of a role do you think that has for an athlete, good or bad?
Right. I mean, I think there has to. I mean, I think it's changed a lot of dynamics for athletes. I think it's given a lot of athletes a voice, which was never like when I was coming up. It was always, hey, you're just one of the like you're part of the team. You're one of many. You're not an individual. This isn't basketball. Just shut up and play quarterback. Which I enjoy that it's actually allowed athletes to show their personality, and hopefully, you know, with all this new legislation going on and the NCAA, guys can capitalize off of it. But at the same time, I think there has to be a middle ground, because I'm obviously from the older generation. Technically, I guess, even though I'm 25, but I also think it can't be a distraction. And I think when you're playing, I think people have to really evaluate what they're playing for. And it's like if you're playing just to get, you know, just to land on the travel team and get picks and warmups that you can post on Instagram of you and your jersey, or if you're just playing to get, you know, highlights to post after, then it's like you should really question what you're doing. But I think it's just like all things, there has to be a middle ground in all of it. So
you know, having a player's perspective, if you heard about a coach, you know, say a random coach in the NCAA banned social media during the season for like his Clemson players.
Like Clemson does every year, and all of a sudden all their picks come out and it's them holding trophies up at the end of the season.
Yeah. Like, what do you think of that?
I'd be all for it, honestly. I mean, I what I used to do when I was playing is certain weeks I would just go on airplane mode, like the whole week. I would just be on airplane mode and say, no one talk to me. Let me just watch film. Because, I'm one of those guys who I couldn't get away without watching film because I wasn't fast enough to scramble around and just make up stuff as I went. So I had to watch a lot of film. But I'd be all for it. I'd be all for it, honestly. And I mean, it's been proven. I think maybe did Saban do that too, but Clemson, I know, does it. But I think it works. It keeps guys focused. And you know, it's like, why are you here? You know, like, you aren't here to, you know, to post pictures or do the TikTok. Like you aren't here to be a TikToker. You're here to practice. You're here to learn. You're here to play well. You're here to win games. So yeah, I'd be all for it. But I'm also, I guess, old school now, which is crazy.
Well, I wish you could tell our current team that.
Really?
I just know that, and I think this is a problem with a lot of schools, and I think it's different, like especially like in a city like Miami, where I guess the fame is maybe a little bit
right, you
know, sometimes more important. But no, it just seems that like even when we lose, like players go to Twitter or something like that, and like come on.
Yeah. My thing used to be my only rule that I had was if I lose and if I have a if I have a bad game, there's no pictures getting posted after. Because I know, at least I knew I'd get ripped apart. So I'm not posting. I mean, that takes a lot of balls, a lot of cojones to do that. That was my rule, is I would just, you know what, I am shutting up. I'm on airplane mode for the next week, and I'm going to make up for it next week. And if I have a good game next week, okay, I'll post a cool pic. Or if the team win, I'll post a cool tweet about it. But if I lose, you won't hear from me. You won't even get a text back from me for a while.
So. Well, I mean, so obviously, you know, you started your very first game at Miami. Right. You know, you were QB1 right from the start. Walking around campus or, you know, the city of Miami, Coral Gables, did that attention ever just get annoying?
Yeah, I mean, at times it, like, there'd be, you know, I'd be sitting down at Chipotle with a mouthful of, you know, chicken or carne asada, and someone would come up and ask me for a picture mid-bite, which that part was annoying. But I mean, overall, it was, I don't know, it was just a humbling experience. I enjoyed it. I never felt like it was, didn't get in the way of much. It's just like something you kind of have to embrace. Like, you can't really, like, you're a 6'3" and a half, you know, half Jewish, half black man in the middle of a Miami campus, and you play quarterback. Like, you can't really hide from people. So you kind of just have to embrace it, which, I mean, it's fun. And I still, I mean, it's in my, it's kind of calmed down now since I, like, every time I go to Miami, I'm wearing a mask, because we all should wear masks, I guess, now. So I don't really get noticed as much. But maybe that'll change after the pandemic. So.
Okay. How often, like, I know that, you know, you have your place down here. How often are you down in Miami, would you say?
Well, since USC is all on Zoom and the film industry has now shifted to Zoom, I try to get down there as much as possible. My girlfriend's in Florida still. So I try to get out there every so often. So I've spent a couple months out there. It's just like, there's so much, there's just a lot of good, days to snowboard here in LA right now. So that's kind of why I've, extended my stay.
Well, and you can't surf in Miami either.
Can't really surf. I mean, there are a few beaches, I guess, but it's, yeah, I guess surfing in Miami is more so a once in a blue moon slash, you know, hey, we got a hurricane out in the Atlantic, let's surf some crazy waves. But yeah, it's not as prominent, I guess.
And I know the first time we talked, I think I asked you what your go-to beach in California to surf is. What was that?
I want to say I probably said Broad Beach. I might have said Zuma, but Broad Beach in Malibu is a nice, it's a nice calm vibe that you can just catch, you know, some white water and just take it into the shore.
Malibu is, Malibu is just, that's where Nobu is, right?
That is where Nobu is, although I haven't had much sushi lately, but I'd love to go there sometime soon, if you guys are ever in town. So
that's where, if I ever want to feel like kind of cool, I go to Nobu.
Right. If you want to feel like Drake or Elon Musk.
Exactly.
Right. Hey, so Brad, you know, you brought up the film industry going to Zoom. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested to hear, like, what's the state of the film industry right now? Yeah. Like, what are you guys doing? Because, you know, mm-hmm. we talked about it a little bit last time we visited, and that was early pandemic. Mm-hmm. But now we are, like, deep in this thing, right? And then we're just kind of figuring out, you know, how to stay afloat, I guess. So.
Right. Well, it seemed like there was a log jam for a hot minute. There was a lot of unknowns in the film industry. But now it seems like with the COVID protocols, a lot of stuff is moving forward. Mm-hmm. But there's obviously I think it's going to change a lot of things forever. So I think, well, it might be different on the television side, but at least features, the cinema, like the movie side of things, I think it's going to allow a lot of people to now function in different states, or, you know, writers and producers can be in Florida, or they can be in New York or Georgia and still operate under the status quo. Like my first major, you know, like movie pitch I did, I pitched a remake to I'm not going to name the studio because it's kind of under wraps right now, but I pitched a remake and it was all over Zoom. And it was nice because I could just read it right off my screen. I sounded very articulate. I sounded very quippy and snappy, and I felt good about it. But yeah, like, just like stuff like that was unheard of 10 years ago. So I think it might change it for the better, because I love Miami and I wouldn't mind being able to do pitches from Miami a lot more often.
So when you're done with USC, could you realistically see yourself coming back to Miami, or are you more of an LA kind of guy?
That's a really hard question, because I always say, like, I'd love to raise a family in Florida, but there's just no place like LA. As I mentioned earlier, you can surf, you can snowboard in the same day. But I mean, that's hard. I mean, I'd love to spend time in both places, honestly. And my girlfriend, she's actually European, so I'd hope to be able to go to Europe when all this stuff passes over, all this COVID stuff. But yeah, I mean, that's some, I guess I'll evaluate down the line. But for now, you know, I'll just be young and try to spend as much time equally in both places. So it's just something about Miami is just, I guess it's like, it's an enchanting city. Like it's hard to just leave behind.
It is. And so, cause I just moved back to Miami whenever on my radio or something like that, people will ask me, you know, what's the one place that if you could live and do sports, where would it be? I always say Southern California, and they don't get it, because Miami is, you know, Miami's Miami, but I don't know, man, there's something different about Southern California.
Yeah. Agreed. I think with LA, I always tell people Miami is the biggest small city I'll ever know. So it's like there's a lot going on, but it's very contained. Whereas LA, it's almost like it's four cities in one, you know, which is it's a bit of a bigger market, I guess, if we're talking sport, or just media in general.
But Miami,
a lot of people are running Miami.
California is hell. It sucks.
Yeah.
If there was probably half the people and, you know, half the traffic, then you couldn't get me to live anywhere else besides Southern California.
But, right. Well, here's the thing now. Here's the thing is, I mean, one, the traffic has calmed down because of the quarantine. A lot of people are working from home. And two, I've seen a lot of people are actually like migrating from LA to Miami. I've seen a lot of Los Angeles people who are now, since work is all remote, a lot of them are now renting apartments and condos in Miami, and I've even seen my property value go up in the past few months, and maybe that could equate to that.
We're getting a lot of Californians here in Utah as well, man. The housing market is going crazy.
Yeah, I bet.
Because you get, you know, people selling a house in California for like $800,000 and then buying that same size house in Utah for half the price.
Right.
And they're able to pay cash.
And they get better snow and ski resorts.
Yeah. And so the housing market here is exploding, and you know, it's a lot of Californians. So, but you know, diversity is cool, and getting new perspectives and stuff like that's awesome.
Okay.
So you've never been to Utah, right?
I've been to Utah. Yeah. I've been there.
Wait, no, you haven't been to Sundance.
I haven't been to Sundance. No, I wanted to go to Sundance, but then the coronavirus thing happened. And I was like, that was like back in January. And I remember like when it first happened, like when I first heard about it, I said, this is going to make its way to the United States. There's no doubt about it. And I was wearing masks. There's a picture of me in a mask, like at the start of January 2020, I was wearing the mask. So I was like, you know, I want to go, but I was like, let me just relax and see what happens in the next month and a half. So
yeah, it put a crazy damper on things. Well, especially California, USC only played like what, four or five games?
I think they were like 5-0 heading into like their Pac-12 championship, and then they lost to Oregon. So
why do you think? Do you see a lot of? I mean, because I feel like USC is kind of like the Miami of the West, with Miami. Do you think that there's a common thread as to why those programs haven't been so successful?
I mean, if you look at their past, I mean, that's an interesting point you make, because if you look at the past trajectory, it's kind of like they've almost been that, like they've almost had similar, like, you know, their two decades of history of the past. Yeah. Their past 20 years have almost aligned very eerily, like with the sanctions and the Reggie Bush thing, and then we had our Shapiro thing, and obviously all the expectations and, you know, the big city aspect and all that. So, they seem to align somewhat. But that's an interesting point you make. I don't have the answer right now. it's something to think on.
Maybe it's a documentary you could do.
Maybe one day. You know, I'll bridge both of my alma maters now.
Okay, so my last question for you. I know that like you're my go-to when it comes to movies and everything like that. Whenever I see a good movie, I honestly think, dude, Brad would love this one.
Right.
Give me three good movies, maybe from this past year that I need to try out.
Well, there hasn't been a lot of movies that have come out this past year. That's a hard one. let me think about that. If you're into action, I mean, Extraction is one. I mean, you might have seen it already, which was on Netflix.
I'm really bad at watching new movies.
It was Chris Hemsworth was in it. It was pretty badass.
I love Chris Hemsworth.
In all honesty. What else have I watched recently? It's just there hasn't been a lot. Let me think about that one. I've honestly been watching a lot of old, like I've been rehashing a lot of like the classics and the old stuff.
Like what?
I watched all the Akira Kurosawa, like the old Japanese samurai film. I watch one of those a night, honestly.
Nice.
So if you're into that, maybe Seven Samurai, Yojimbo, Ran is another one. I mean, like all of his movies have influenced like Spielberg and George Lucas, and I mean they're all classics. And like the dialogue in some of these old samurai movies, like even though it's in subtitles, there isn't one bad line in the whole film. Like every line is like a quotable Instagram caption. So yeah. They're good. I'm
looking for new Instagram captions. So.
Oh yeah, all for that, especially when another five-star quarterback commits.
Yeah, bro. Hey, come on. Yeah, that got a lot of traction. I need to lay low, bro.
Love that.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Well, Brad, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate having you. And you know, I guess you were able to avoid Valentine's Day for the most part. It sounds like you know, being across the country from. Your significant other.
Yeah, I mean, like, don't worry. I still had to take the L and buy a gift that should be getting there like soon. I hope it gets there, or else I'm in trouble.
Okay, thank you so much, Brad. You're our guy.
Yeah.
Good talking as always.
Yes, thanks, man. Brother. Take care.
Be safe.
Talk soon. Bye.
Cool. Love having Brad, dude. That's incredible. Very nice of him to hang out with us on a Sunday.
Yeah, he's just so cool.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. The thing is, like, I could talk to him for hours.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Just about like life.
He's just a dude.
Stuff.
Well, I mean, he's just a dude. You know, like, I mean, he's a crazy talented and successful dude. Because I mean, how many people play in the NFL and play in Hollywood as well? You know. But at the end of the day, he's just a cool dude. So,
dude, I bet it does, like, I know he would never say it gets annoying, but I bet those questions about him coming back for one more year, like, that would piss me off, because it does piss me off, because I swear, yeah. I like that, especially in the off season, that question gets, like, brought up, like, every week.
Yeah, and you know, Malik was one of his dudes, right? So, I mean, it would... I mean, because he's never going to say something that makes a fan happy, and he, you know, keeps it real with one of his friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if he says what the fan wants to hear, then it probably would be something that looks bad towards Malik Rozier, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. So. I wonder how his boy Braxton is doing. You know what? I'm still so mad we haven't, like, interviewed him yet.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm not bitter. Whatever.
Oh man.
I was gonna ask Brad, what he thinks about because Braxton's funny on Instagram. He's been doing more thirst traps lately. It sounds like. Do you follow him on Instagram?
I don't, dude. I'm actually not a big Instagram user.
I'm not as big as I used to be. I'm on, dude. You know what my favorite thing from this past interview is what Brad had to say about social media.
Yes, I agree.
Like, that not spot on?
Oh, it is. It's 100% spot on. And, you know, I think me and you, I've noticed a sharp decline in both of our social media use over the last few weeks. it was, you know, getting the podcast off the ground was very, very fun. But I felt like once this season ended, like the social media, it just sapped all of my energy for people, you know?
Well, and now, like, I think I tried to back up my social media use just because, like, we were trying to get the podcast up and going. I was trying to get, like, my name out there, things like that. But now that, like, all that is, like, up and running.
Yeah, now that you're famous.
I'm not going to tweet about recruiting all day, every day. Yeah.
So I have a question for you. How often do you get stopped in South Florida because people recognize you?
not very often. It's happened a few times.
Yeah.
Like I've been at gyms or like, yeah, it's happened. It's kind of funny. It's happened at, gyms more often than most places, which is always kind of weird. And then at Canes games, obviously, you know, that, you know, people recognize me, but other than that, like South Florida is so big, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was just curious, you know?
Well, and also I don't go out very often.
Yeah. Like, I just think it'd be, was it a trip the first time it happened when somebody was like, hey, you're Marsh?
I think I'd say the first time it happened was in Orlando for the Gators game. And people would come up, say, hey, you're Marsh. And they're like, let me buy you a drink and everything. I'm like, whoa, like, like guys, I'm not a big deal. Yeah. But my dad was with me, so that was kind of cool. And then just cool, paint games after that. You know, people see me. I think one of the players' moms recognized me at the UNC game, and she it was actually kind of funny because I think, you know, sometimes I can be a little you know, passive aggressive towards the Hurricanes, and she asked me, because she told me, she was like, you know, I can't really tell if whether you're with us or against us. I'm like, come on.
That's funny, man.
But no, it's fun. Canes fans are really, really awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually, yeah, I got recognized at the Heat game a few weeks ago, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that's but I'm not, like, usually it's funny because either I'm super down to, like, talk with people and everything like that, or I just, like, I'm in my element and, like, I just want to chill, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of Heat games, I'm going to make you talk about what happened last night, Marsh.
I knew. Okay, I didn't watch the game first off. Just because it was a late tip off first.
Yeah, for you guys, yes, it was the standard 7 p.m. here.
And second, like, I knew, I had a bunch of friends from Utah say, "Hey, like, what, like, should we bet on the Jazz or something like that? Is Jazz -6 a lock?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's, I'd say it's a lock." And turns out I was right, so I made them money, kind of. The Jazz. Heat are just, you know, I think we've gotten some momentum going, but we're, you know, with injuries and COVID, it's kind of just screwed up our season to begin with. And
yeah.
And now we are on a road trip from hell right now.
Yeah. And I will say this, though, to Heat fans, because I noticed on my timeline, there's a lot of people that were, like, really upset about the game last night. But, like, that's what the Jazz are doing to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Jazz have covered the spread in, like, 72% of their games so far this year.
Wow. Which is,
it's insane what they're doing.
That's gambler's paradise.
Yeah. I mean, the Jazz covering the spread is the safest bet on the planet right now. And, I mean, we blew out the Bucks by 15, and it wasn't even that close. We blew out, you know, I mean, we've blown out the Clippers. We've blown out the Suns. We've blown out, I mean, pretty much everyone we played, right? I saw something that, like, it's like now 17 of our 22 wins have been by 10 plus points. So, I mean, to Heat fans out there, don't feel too bad, because that's just what the Jazz are doing right now.
Were people actually getting, like, angry?
I mean, they were just, like, frustrated. I think they were, well, yeah, it was the typical thing is in, I think people thought that it was a really bad performance from the Heat, if that makes sense. And I'm like, hey, that's just what's happening when you play the Jazz right now, you know? It's okay. Don't think that you guys sucked. That's just how much better we're playing than everyone. So we do it to every team.
I know. I'm honestly really happy for you because they're playing so well.
Dude, this year has been so weird, having the Buffalo Bills reach the AFC Championship game. The Jazz are the best team in the NBA at this very moment. That could change, but right now they are. And, you know, the Miami Hurricanes, I mean, almost made an Orange Bowl run, right? So if all three would have happened in the same year, like, I'd just have to go buy new pants or something.
God. That's great. That's good. Oh, yeah. Man. I wish we had, like, recruiting news or anything, but I haven't been keeping up. And that's what we have Gabby for whenever he comes on.
Right? It's Gabby's job.
That is Gabby's job. Dude, I'm so – like, I go on these, like – like, the last cycle just ended. Like, yep. I want to intro the 2022 class a little bit, but now I'm ready to take a break again.
Yep.
And it's crazy because, like, most of these fans, they, like – they're more into it than I am, and I have to actually, like, write about it. It's nuts to me.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of people do know what they're talking about, so I'm not, you know, trying to say that. But for me, like, you know, watching junior tape, I'm not the kind of, like, X's and O's guy, you know, where it's like, it's not going to do a whole lot for me to watch right now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm totally fine taking a six-month break, and then, you know, as we get closer to signing day and stuff, and the recruitments really heat up, like, that's when I start to care, right? So
yeah, I think maybe, like, as we get closer to summer, I feel like that's when recruiting really started to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Last year at least, and so that's probably when I'll start to pay more attention. But
yeah,
as for right now, man, it's hard.
Yeah, I feel you.
It's hard to be like, and I'd rather just talk about, like, our current team. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel you. And I mean, how much is there to say until the spring starts? You know, like, my opinion's already formed. It's, you know, our defense is going to be marginally better at most. Sketchy. And, you know, hopefully our offense is better than last year. I think they should be. So
they will be if we pass Will Mallory the ball more.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a huge thing this year.
Yeah. And I would really love to see one of our running backs have a breakout year.
Yeah, or and, just, like, I'd like to see them all get, like, 500 yards or, like, 500, 600, 400 yards. Like, I just want more balance. I want more consistency from Cam Harris.
Yeah.
Do you ever
– special, man. Like,
on a side note, I guess you're married, but, dude, there are so many times where I'm on Instagram and I see these happy couples. And, and I'm like, damn, why are you in a relationship?
You want to know the secret about that, about those happy pictures?
They're not happy.
They're just smiling for the camera, man. Like, relationships are awesome, but it's hard work. It's not easy, so.
Yeah.
You know from experience that, like, being in relationships is as awful as it is good, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have relationship, experience, so that's the crazy thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, man, expect it to be a freaking battle. So it's a labor of passion, right? Or a labor of love. It's like building the podcast, you know? It's like sometimes you wish you had never had the idea to make a podcast, and other days you feel like you're on top of the world. So
yeah, that's true. I feel like it's been the latter a whole lot more, though.
Yeah, I agree, man.
Like, you're very, very excited.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's been amazing.
For sure. But yeah, dude, month till spring football. Do you think people get a little too excited for spring ball?
Yeah, but I mean, we're fanatics, right? We're crazy people.
Well, but, like, I'm trying to force, like, I'm excited, but I also feel like we just,
yeah,
like, the season literally just ended.
I think I'll be a lot more excited when the Jazz season is over.
Yeah.
I love the Canes, and it would be really hard for me to pick between the Jazz and the Canes, but, you know, while the Jazz are just rolling people, it's like, you know, I am still thinking about football, but it's not what's occupying the front of my brain right now, so.
Yeah, dude, that's the crazy thing. Like, we get a lot of questions, whether it's on, like, for this podcast or
on the radio show to like talk. And well, and you know, it makes sense to talk about Canes football because this is a Canes football podcast. But I can go a few weeks and a few months without talking about football.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I really can't.
Yeah.
And but like some people just want to talk it 24/7.
Yeah, dude, there are some people on the Twitter sphere that are animals with how much they, and I mean that in a kind way, like they're machines when it comes to talking about football, like they're relentless.
Yeah, they really, like, it's crazy to me, like I have to like at least engage a little bit, like to just to give me some material to write my articles, yeah, or something like that, but
yeah.
Like, I'm like, guys, go play video games. Go hang out with families.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, man. And speaking of which, if you'll give me a moment to soapbox, because I've been waiting for this. All right.
Oh, please.
Is that and I mean no offense, because I know you're a Heat fan, but people have been on me about, you know, I've been Rudy Gobert's biggest hype man, you know, the last year and a half or two. And I have a platform where thousands of people will listen to me say this and they can't respond at all, except for on Twitter, but I can ignore them. And I just want to point out that Bam Adebayo had 14 points on 17 shots against Rudy Gobert. And so, you know, I think he's worth that $200 million. And he's the best player on the best team in the NBA right now.
I've never understood the Rudy Gobert, like, why so many Heat fans, like, hate Rudy Gobert. Like, it's okay to admit that Rudy and Bam are good.
Yeah, like, they're both good. Bam's good. That's not what I'm saying.
Bam is still learning, dude. Bam is still learning the offensive game. And,
yeah,
like, Rudy's been consistent for a number of years now.
Yeah, he has. And you know, I actually love Bam. As an NBA fan, like, Bam will be just fine. You know, it's just because I've heard the smack talk all year, and they had, you know, Rudy got the better of Bam last night, so I just had to point that out to everyone. But Bam's gonna be okay.
I bet you were just smiling watching that game last night.
Oh yeah, well I was nervous, and here's the thing is like I understand that the Jazz are going to drop one here or there, right? So I'm not gonna be super gutted when they lose their next game because it's been an incredible season so far. It just couldn't be that Heat game, dude. It really could not be that Heat game. that was the game that I've been most nervous about this whole year because I did not need the smack talk, you know?
Yeah. Bro, that's the worst. Oh, my gosh, that's the worst.
Like, I mean, could you imagine going on a 15-game win streak? No one gives you any credit, and then we lose to the Heat, and then everyone's in my mentions. Like, oh, you guys suck. Told you it was fake. It's like, no! We beat everyone.
No! Oh gosh. No, dude, I woke up to my group message just exploding because of they're all Jazz fans and they're like, "Hey, what the hell, bro?"
They sound like great people.
they're diehard Jazz fans. Like they talk about the Jazz like all day in our group group text.
It's pretty much a religion here in Utah. Like there isn't anything that unites the people of Utah more than the Utah Jazz.
I love the relationship that the Jazz have to their fans.
Yeah.
Like, it almost feels like a college team.
Yeah, it does. And actually, that's probably the closest thing that we have here to, like, the SEC-type, you know, adoration of the football team is how people feel about the Jazz, you know? Because BYU and Utah fans hate each other. You know, the Salt Lake metro area is split pretty evenly on that, but they will come together and be brothers as Jazz fans, you know,
brothers in arms.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh man. Okay, what else do we need to talk about?
I don't think anything, man.
I wish we could have just kept talking to Brad.
I'm sure we could have, but it just would have turned into a Chris Farley interview. I reference that every time we talk, but it makes me giggle every time.
remember when you won that bowl game?
Hey, remember when you got your tooth knocked out?
that was awesome.
Yeah,
dude, that was kind of funny when he said, I don't know if this was on purpose, but when he said, yeah, I think the last quarterback to win a bowl game was me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, you sly bastard.
It's true though.
It's how sad is that though? He's the only player in 15 years to win a bowl game at quarterback.
Dude, Brad gets severely disrespected by the fan base.
I don't know why.
I mean, think about it. We've had 15 garbage years. He's the only one to win a bowl game, and he's the all-time program leader in passing. Like,
and he did it in 3 years.
Yeah. And he changed head coaches. You know what I mean? Like, he had different offensive coordinators. So, two different coaches in 3 years.
It's crazy that his last year was the first year of Mark. Like, that seems like so long ago.
Yeah. It is. Well, did he have three different offensive coordinators? Who is our coordinator? Oh, it was James Coley. No, so
I was on my mission, so I have no idea.
Yeah, so we had James Coley. I can't think of where he is now, but he was an FSU dude. He's at Georgia,
I think.
Okay, yeah. So he was our OC the whole time Brad was there, I think, because he recruited Brad out of high school.
Wow. And I'm happy that he's on the Jay Garcia train.
Yep.
He actually knew a lot about him.
Which is
awesome. And when he says that he doesn't follow recruiting like anymore, like, dude, if I was a former player, I wouldn't follow recruiting at all.
Oh yeah, there's no way, dude.
I hate following recruiting now.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I don't know. It must just be different for guys like that, because I just mean former players. Cause you know, like, we've spent our whole lives like loving the U from a distance, right? And I think part of that's because the closest that we can get is being a fan. But I mean, you must just have a different relationship with it when you play, you know?
And I love that he's like, he did his football, like he did his time at football, but now he's on to like other things.
Yeah.
I think that's so awesome.
Oh yeah, dude. It's, you know, I'm always intrigued by people from like a human standpoint. When they get the choice to, you know, they have multiple options for greatness, right? Like Kyler Murray. And there's one of the European heavy metal bands I listen to. One of them has a woman's lead singer that she chose between like a modeling career in New York and being the singer for a popular heavy metal band. So, you know, like people that are faced with those kind of choices, like, that's crazy to me, man. And Brad's one of those dudes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not to the level of Kyler Murray, but it's like, you know, there are tens of millions of people, if not more, that wish they could work in Hollywood. And there's just as many, if not more, that wish they could play in the NFL. The dude got to choose.
Yeah. It is really, really cool.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. We could just like talk to him about like the bowl game, but we could also talk to him about like movies.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Good stuff. Okay, when should we do this again?
Whenever, dude. Well, let's try to get two in this week, because the following week I will be unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I'm not even taking my laptop. I'm so excited.
Bro, I told you, man. I'm not going to act like I told you. I'm not going to ask you to do it while you're there. You better enjoy that vacation. You better fucking eat all that you can.
Yep.
Oh, dude, I'm so jealous, honestly.
I can't wait, man. Yeah, I might pull a Brad and just put my phone on airplane mode, you know? No Twitter. I think I'm going to delete the Twitter app off my phone. Let's see if I can do it.
I do that all the time.
I'm low-key addicted, but it's not like my Mountain Dew addiction, where I absolutely love my Mountain Dew addiction. it's a negative addiction in my life is Twitter. So we'll see if I'm able to stay off of it the whole time, but I'm certainly going to try.
Oh, dude, it's the best. Like, sometimes I delete the Twitter app and I just go a few days. I think that's important.
Yeah. So
like when you're on Twitter all day, every day, that's no fun.
Yeah.
You just look back and say, wow, I really just wasted a day.
Yeah, and I feel like it waters down your personal relationships, you know, because like the whole time you're spending time with people, your brain is elsewhere, you know. You're thinking, well, like, if you the second you get bored in reality, like, your brain wants to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, you can't, like, you're just, like, constantly thinking about, oh, man, what, the recruiting or the linebacker play. Oh,
right.
Oh, De'Ara King, third down conversion.
Yep.
Oh, God. Not nothing against the people on Twitter, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of great people, but.
Yeah. I think we could all do a little bit better at. Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Agreed. Yeah, I think we all know what you're saying. If people don't, they're daft.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, we will shoot for 2 episodes this next week. Thank you to Brad Kaya, as always. Yep. And until then, go Canes.
Go Canes, man.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like,